An EP from the MIA frontman of Rage Against the Machine, and a teen queen continues her quest to dominate the globe. Yes, it is Tuesday, and it is time when a new raft of music floats our way, so let's get right to it with a fella who's been with the BPP since its days as a little tiny pilot. Hailing from Austin, Texas, Esquire magazine's music critic and friend of the BPP, Andy Langer. Hi, Andy.
Good morning. I'm drinking Burger King coffee because it's hang me.
You're going to just keep dropping Burger King into the whole segment?
Exactly.
That's a whopper of a good record. hey, let's start with new music from Zach De La Rocha of Rage Against the Machine. You know, they've been doing some live dates this summer. Last album, I think, was 2000. You know, Tom Morello, he's been obviously much more active. Did you
Which
miss Zach?
Not necessarily a good thing.
Oh, well, tell us, did you miss Zach? And why do you think Zach's been sort of lying low?
Well, I mean, I think, yeah, Morello has been out there as the night watchman, even though he's one dude. And De La Rocha, nowhere. And, you know, you keep hearing rumors that he's making music with DJ Shadow or with Trent Reznor or Questlove, and one or two tracks have trickled out over those 8 years. Neither of them or any of the two or three have been any good. And radio, in particular, is dying for new Rage Against the Machine. I mean, it's something that they could just drop into that alternative format and have a hit instantly. And apparently they're just not willing to deliver a new Rage Against the Machine record, so we have this. One Day as a Lion, finally, we have new music from Zach De La Rocha, and it's okay.
One Day as a Lion is the name of his partnership with drummer John Theodore, who used to play with Mars Volta. Let's take a quick listen, and we'll talk about it on the back end.
All right.
Okay, so Zach's got a little potty mouth, as we heard from the beeps. His style is so distinct. I mean, no matter what band he's in, whatever what they call it, you know who it is.
Yeah, and there's five songs here, and sonically two of them sound like Rage Against the Machine songs, and those happen to be the two that are good. On the other hand, what you realize when you listen to this EP is that Tom Morello, who may not be very good as the Night Watchman, is definitely the song craftsman of Rage Against the Machine, because what's missing here is songcraft. It sounds like Rage Against the Machine, but there's no hooks.
Right. All right, I'm moving on to Miley Cyrus. Now, if you aren't up on 15-year-old Miley Cyrus, let me tell you, she played a concert series across from our offices here last Friday. City officials literally shut down two subway station entrances because so many people showed up. So based on the sheer volume of the screams that we endured for 2 hours, we want to find out what you think about Miley Cyrus's new release called Breakout. Andy, did you
I thought we were listening to something.
No, I thought you hung up
on
me.
Oh, all right. Well, you know, here's the deal. I mean, to pull back the curtain on this rock criticism thing, we might as well, since it's the last time.
Yeah.
Anybody that tells you that's 35 years old or older, and I'm 35 and I'm 15 years younger than the average guy that does this for a living, if they try to tell you that they listen to a Miley Cyrus record and that they understand it in a critical way, that they can tell you what's good and bad about Miley Cyrus, then they're lying to you. They just want to get on the list for tickets that they could buy their kids, that they can get their kids. And, you know, it's fine. It's a record that doesn't matter whether it's good or not.
Right.
I mean, this isn't a record that we're going to look back and say, oh, she was maturing, and this is her transitional album from Hannah Montana into a solo artist. And, you know, it's a record that has a cover of Girls Just Want to Have Fun and takes it in a serious way.
Well, let's listen to the critic proof, Miley Cyrus. This is called Seven Things from Breakout.
It's awkward and silent as I wait for you to say what I need to hear now, your sincere apology.
Okay, we're just going to move on to Dr. Dog from Philadelphia, a new album called Fade. It's their fifth. The band stopped by our studio last week, and singer Scott McMicken, he said the band didn't really have any plan going into recording the new record, but that the concept of fate imposed himself. Let's listen.
At that point, we then, you know, put forth more intent into what we were already observing. And so this process became this kind of manifestation of fate, or something that you could see as, wow, we are witnessing this fated event. I mean, the process itself started to bring as much to us. It's the kind of thing that I live for, you know, and it's not the kind of thing you always get.
Now, Spin Magazine described their acoustic throwback music as having sepia sweetness. What do you think of these guys?
I think that's a deep thought for a really sort of simple record, a record that gets its beauty from simplicity, and it's a really strong record. I mean, whether you call this, you know, beard rock or retro or just Americana,
I
mean, it's part Beatles, it's part the band, it's a little bit Beach Boys, and it's really earthy and complex in the melody, but simple in the delivery, and it's just an easygoing sort of summery slash Sunday record.
All right, and finally, I want to talk about a reissue that's come out. U2, we don't need to explain anything about U2, reissued the first three albums, a bunch of bonus material. What kind of goodies are we talking about here?
They're really gorgeous packages. I mean, they're these 32-page books, and then a full disc, you know, 14 to 16 songs on each of these extra discs of live stuff, of previously unreleased stuff, stuff that would have come out on a box set down the line and hasn't. And I'm surprised it hasn't, because a lot of it's good. You're getting a lot of bang for your buck with these reissues. And, you know, two of the records are not the best U2 records. I mean, really, until War, U2 isn't U2. But these are really generous B-sides that they've given over. And apparently, you know, early adopters, as always, get screwed. If you bought this in the last 25 years, you didn't get what you should have, because now is the time to buy these records.
And let's listen to a bonus cut from the Boy reissue. It's the early single, 11 o'clock TikTok. This is live from the Marquee Club in London. All right, there were different reactions here about hearing this. Jacob, our director, says it reminds him how far Bono's voice has fallen in the last 28 years. I said it reminds me how much his voice has matured and has depth. What do you think?
It reminds me of how early they were good. I mean, that's the thing, is that this is a band with such a long career who early on knew what they were before most bands knew what they were, and it's obvious when you listen to these early records. Even if they're not great records, they're records from a band who knew where they were, who they were, earlier than most bands do, and that's how you get to be U2.
Andy Langer, music critic from Esquire magazine and very good friend to the BPP.
It's been
Andy,
my pleasure.
It has been our pleasure. Thank you so much.
All right, thank you.
We'll see you down the line.
All right, thanks.